What kind of independence do we celebrate on the 4th of July? Find out next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by Janet Morana, our Associate Director. And Janet, one of my favorite days is the 4th of July. It's such a great celebration, and not just because of the cookouts and the fireworks, which are all very, very good, but the meaning of what we celebrate is so deep and so real, especially for us as Christians.
That's right, and I think people need to remember that the July 4th really was a celebration of Christians be able to practice their religions freely. You know, this notion of separation of church and state is so false, because our founding fathers came here exactly for freedom of religion, not freedom from religion.
And we're going to explore some of the deeper meanings of that freedom from a biblical perspective, of course, by sharing a sermon I gave just recently about the 4th of July.
Right.
So let's look at that now, brothers and sisters, as we reflect on our freedom in Jesus Christ. Our reading today comes from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans in chapter 8, starting with verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, how beneficial, how helpful this word of the Lord is as we celebrate Independence Day, as we enjoy the freedom that we have in the United States of America. A freedom, of course, that we as Christians can understand better than anyone else because of what the Word of God teaches us regarding freedom. We celebrate freedom, we celebrate independence, but independence from what? When we go back to the beginnings of our nation and see what our founding fathers were trying to accomplish in founding this country and founding the form of government that we have in this nation, we realize that they were seeking independence from tyranny, independence from the idea that human beings can be subject in any absolute kind of way to any other human beings. It was an independence that sprang from their understanding that human beings have a dignity which puts everyone on an equal basis. That doesn't mean we can't organize ourselves. Obviously, they did organize a form of government. You have to, otherwise you end up with chaos. But the first understanding here about independence is that we cannot have any one person in government, or even a group of people, who have absolute domination over other human beings. Human government is not about having the authority over life and death. It means first and foremost recognizing the dignity of the human being. There are some forms of government, there have been forms of government, which basically say that the law is whatever comes out of the mouth of the king. So that you have a king, or it could be in some cases a small group of people, who are regarded as the absolute word. In other words, whatever they say goes. And even if it's something different tomorrow than it is today, the law, that which all the people have to follow, is whatever springs out of the mouth of this king or of this group of rulers. Well, then we obviously don't have freedom, and the dignity of those who are being governed isn't recognized at all. Their thoughts, their ideas, their preferences, even their rights don't count for anything. Because the law they have to follow is whatever comes out of the mouth of that person over there. And our founding fathers rejected that idea. We celebrate independence from that idea that somehow somebody else rules over us in an absolute way. This is why we say that in our country, we enjoy a government of laws, not men. Now, what does that mean? That the law is written in a way that embodies certain principles, certain things that are right, certain things that are wrong, certain actions that always should be avoided, like stealing and killing, other actions that should be promoted, assisting one another in various ways to live a peaceable life in this world. And that those laws, pointing out what is and is not acceptable behavior in society, persist even when the individual rulers and governors and people in authority come and go. In other words, it doesn't matter if John Smith is the governor of your state or if John Jones is the president of your country. There are laws that persist before John Jones comes and after he goes away. It's not what comes out of his mouth that determines the law. It's what the people together have passed as their laws. This, again, recognizes what? That all those people who are being governed have dignity. What they say matters. And once those laws are passed, you don't have one individual or a small group of people that can suddenly impose their own will tomorrow in a way that has nothing to do with what the people want. We are a nation of laws, not men. So that even those who are in government authority, when they themselves transgress those laws, they can be punished and should be punished. This is what it means that we are a nation of laws, not of men. But then, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate and we acknowledge what this means, we also have to take one further step and to say that the laws themselves must be pure. The laws themselves must obey the law. We can have tyranny still if we have laws that disregard and disrespect basic human rights. The laws themselves have to be formed by our process of making laws. We govern ourselves. We elect our lawmakers. They debate and then ultimately pass the laws, and the governor of a state or the president of a nation signs those bills into law. But in the process of making laws, the people who are doing it have to be able to tell the difference between right and wrong. And this is where another kind of freedom comes into play. It's not just the freedom to pass the laws so that then we're governed by laws and not by the whim of a king or a tyrant, but it's also the freedom to be able to know the difference between right and wrong so that those laws can reflect the law of God. This is freedom at its deepest level, and this is where our reading today from the letter to the Romans comes in. We didn't receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters of God. In other words, through our relationship with God, who has spoken his word to us, given us his truth, we can truly understand the difference between right and wrong. We can know what's good for us, and we can know what's destructive for us. We can know what benefits the human family. We can know what harms the human family. So that when we pass our laws, or when we elect candidates who are running for the position of lawmakers, we can judge based on their views and their positions who will or will not be good for us to have in those positions of leadership. There is an inner freedom that we all long for, this freedom of the spirit of the sons and daughters of God that St. Paul talks about. You know, he speaks in the previous chapter, in chapter 7 of the letter to the Romans. We hear him say in verse 15, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Romans 7:15 expresses a struggle that each and every one of us can acknowledge, if we're honest, that we all have. We know what's good, we want to do what's right, and we find ourselves doing exactly the opposite. What is that? That's the slavery of sin. We are not free, my brothers and sisters, if we want to do the right thing and we end up doing the wrong thing. If we're celebrating Independence Day, if we're celebrating freedom, this is a perfect time to ask God for that gift of inner freedom. Lord, I want to do what's right. Give me the power to do it. And that's what freedom is. Not the right to do whatever we might want to do at any given moment, but the power to do what's right. The power to transcend those forces inside of ourselves that are leading us to do what's evil, and to use our energies and to use our mind and body and soul to do at each moment what we know is good and right. There's freedom. And where does that come from? It comes from the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God working throughout His people, enabling them both to know and to choose what is good, then forms the basis for a free nation. What do we mean? What we mean is, knowing and wanting what's good, those people can govern themselves. You see, you can't have a people governing themselves if they don't know the difference between right and wrong, because then you have chaos, then you have people hurting one another, then you have people dividing and subdividing and opposing interests and people clashing with each other, and then somebody's got to step in and impose order. But if you have people who are loving one another or seeking what is just and what is true and what is right, then you have more freedom. Not that we ever have that kind of a heaven on earth, of course not. And that's why laws perform the function of restraining the heartless. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, the law might not be able to make my brother love me, but it can prevent him from lynching me. The law puts that boundary on certain forms of destructive behavior, because people don't have that kind of inner freedom that we're talking about to the extent that that we would want. Otherwise, no laws would be necessary at all. But when we do have that inner freedom, when we're a virtuous people, then the people we elect and the laws we pass are going to be moving in the right direction. And they acknowledge that God is the author of our freedom. Freedom doesn't come from rejecting God. Freedom comes from acknowledging Him. Because if, in fact, the entire human family is under God's dominion, if He's the one who owns us, if He's the one to whom we belong, then if I transgress your rights, I'm going against Him. To acknowledge God as the Lord of the human family is precisely what guarantees our freedom. Because then it says nobody else in the human family can discard or destroy other members of it. Rather, being all of us under God, we know that we have this respect and we're called to foster what is good in and for everybody else. One other aspect of freedom, brothers and sisters, that comes in here. Because it's God who made us, because it's God who enlightens us, shows us the difference between right and wrong, and allows us to create laws that free us from the whims and the tyranny of others. This means that freedom must begin when human life begins. We're to call for the freedom of our own children. And this, of course, we lack when we as a nation tolerate and approve the evil of abortion. Because to say that we can snuff out the life of a child who is developing in the womb is, in fact, to deny freedom to that child. We want to celebrate independence? Then let's celebrate independence for everyone. We want to say freedom is a good thing for all human beings to have? Then let's say they should have it from when they start being human beings. But if we say we're a free country and we can celebrate our independence and that includes the right to abort our children, then we're contradicting ourselves. Because we're saying freedom is good for human beings only of a certain age. Freedom is good for human beings, but if you're a human being in the first 9 months of your life, you can have your freedom and you can have all your other rights taken away by one single choice called abortion. Freedom will not survive if we deprive any segment of the human family of that freedom. Freedom is secure only when freedom is universal. Freedom is secure only when we realize that it's rooted in being human, not rooted in somebody else's decision to give it to us. Because if we have freedom only because someone decided to give it to us, then that someone can also decide to take it away tomorrow, and that's simply not acceptable. Freedom is too important, it's too basic to depend on the whim of somebody else. Brothers and sisters, it is rooted in our human nature given to us by God Himself. Everybody else in between, our fellow citizens and those in positions of government, have to recognize there is something above them and something below them. Something above them, the God who rules all people and gives us our rights. And then those that they govern, they have to recognize as equals. Those, quote unquote, under them must be recognized as people with the same kind of dignity and rights that they have. And here we will find the reason for celebrating our independence. As fireworks explode, so let our hope and our joy and our understanding explode with a gratitude to Almighty God, who has bestowed on us the dignity of the sons and daughters of God. It doesn't lead us back into a spirit of fear or of slavery. It leads us forward when we can say, Abba, Father, dwell within us, make us one, make us free by obeying your word, seeking your truth, and embracing your life. Amen. Well, yes, let's continue to celebrate and rejoice in our freedom. And Janet, we do that, of course, by building a nation that respects and protects human life.
That's right. And, you know, if people enjoyed that sermon, we have great news here at Gospel Life Ministries. We have now have collections of some of the key sermons you've given around the country. And so, for example, some of these titles are A Sermon on Living Wills. That's a very key thing for people nowadays, especially with, you know, after the Terri Schiavo case. There's a homily here on discernment, one on the fruits of piety. There's four different volumes now with four sermons on each CD, and it's a great resource, really. People can listen to this as they commute to work in the morning.
So people can order those by going to our online store.
That's
we'll
right.
see the link on our website and or calling or writing to us for the any or all of the four volumes
That's
of those
right.
homily CDs.
And, of course, in addition to that, we have our pastoral team that's out on the road, Father. So why don't you tell us about some of our travels?
Where are we going in the near future? Well, the National Right to Life Convention is taking place this coming week from July the 2nd through the 6th. This is an annual pro-life convention, National Right to Life, and it will be held in Crystal City, Virginia. So we invite people to come to that convention.
And we'll be there. Come and join us.
Absolutely, we will. Dr. Alveda King, one of our pastoral team, together with you, Janet, are going to Los Angeles July 11th and 12th. Sister Paula Vandegaard is having her pro-life training seminar.
That's right, and that's for pregnancy directors from around the country.
Dr. Teresa Burke, our pastoral associate for Rachel's Vineyard, will be in Central Valley, New York on the 19th of July for the Hudson Valley Catholic Conference. And I will be going to Michigan, to Auburn Hills, on the afternoon of Sunday, July 20th, for a special pro-life celebration that afternoon, Auburn Hills, Michigan. So details about these speaking engagements and these trips and how the public can participate in them are always at our website, my friends, at gospeloflife.com. Well, thank you, Janet, for all that you do and all the promotion of these materials and these travels. And stay with us, friends, because on our action segment, we're going to give you even more practical ideas and tools that you can use to build up a culture of life. So don't go away. Stay with us here on Gospel of Life.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Welcome to our action segment. Janet, today we're going to give people the most powerful way that they can persuade someone that abortion is wrong.
That's right. You know, basically, abortion, the word has kind of lost its meaning. It kind of is, you know, really, most people don't really understand what an abortion is.
Well, they trivialize it in their minds.
And they also like to say that, oh, well, abortion only occurs in the first trimester or in the first few weeks of pregnancy. But what they have to realize is abortions are occurring in this country through all 9 months of pregnancy, unhealthy babies. And on our website, gospeloflife.com, we have the evidence. We have the pictures of aborted babies. And we know there is nothing that helps convert people to say abortion should be outlawed is to see these images.
Well, we know that from experience because we use these images. You know, it's amazing. Some people will say, well, you know, I don't know if these images really work. And usually the people who are saying that are ones that don't use them. We use them and we see every day the power of people who will come to the website, look at the pictures of the aborted babies and say, I was pro-choice up until a few minutes ago until I started watching these pictures. So what we're saying is people should take action by challenging those with whom they may be debating the abortion issue to look at it and to say, have you ever seen an abortion? And if you haven't, go to our website, challenge them to look at those pictures. Sure. Or they can email the link, or they can download the photos, they can print them out. They can do any one of those things or more to get these images in front of the eyes of as many people as possible.
And then in addition to having the images of the actual aborted babies, we actually have from our friends at Nucleus Medical Arts. Now, this is a company that makes the medical diagrams of surgery.
Yes.
For court cases.
Yes.
And they have two procedures up there. It's the first trimester and second trimester abortion. And again, people don't realize what happens during an abortion. This is a simple diagram that they can order from us at gospellife.com. And the next time people say, oh, it's a simple little procedure, just a blob of tissue, take this medical diagram out and say that this is what we're talking about.
We will send those diagrams. They're in 8.5 by 11 form. We also have some large poster size versions of these diagrams. We will send as many of these diagrams as people may want. The sky's the limit. If people can use, you know, thousands of them, we will make them available. Because the diagram is on one side of the 8.5 by 11 sheet, and on the other side are the words of abortionists themselves, okay, not our words, yours or mine, but the words of abortionists themselves describing step by step these procedures.
That's right.
So that when people see the word dismemberment or decapitation, they know that that's not just the rhetoric of some pro-life fanatic. That's the wording used by the abortionists themselves who are performing these procedures legally.
That's right. And then in addition, we have another great resource. It's called The Procedure.
Yes.
And this is a several chapters of a DVD. One chapter actually has a medical doctor describing the abortion procedure with fetal models and the actual instruments that we use during an abortion. Then another chapter shows another medical doctor doing an autopsy on an aborted baby. Not doing it, but describing the child, how the child died, mm-hmm. from what type of an abortion, and so forth and so on. And this is a great resource, again, to help convince people the damage that is occurring to that unborn child during an abortion.
So, once again, having these available for one-on-one conversations, for email, for talks and presentations, for slides that one might want to show during a presentation. And, of course, you always warn the audience that they're about to see something that's very disturbing and very graphic. If people don't want to watch it, they can simply close their eyes or turn away. So we don't want to impose things on people that are going to shock or trouble them. But we hope people will watch, of course, because we have to see that we have to let these horrifying images disturb us enough that it prompts us into action to stop the violence.
That's right. I also encourage them to really use the internet to get this message out. A link to these pictures could be as a footer to all your email messages, a simple challenge. And what people have to realize is when they click over, they're not immediately seeing that picture. They have to go through another click or two. So again, you're not forcing something on them, but it's a challenge to face what abortion really is.
Well, friends, let's take that challenge now and let's look at what abortion does to these babies.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion, haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please, call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.